bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Reiner, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today, we continue with our study on perspectives of love found in 1 John. Our lesson today comes from 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, where we will focus our thoughts on three features that John gives of claiming to be in the light. Our second point deals most directly with the principle of love, and that is, if we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we will have no cause for stumbling. This morning, I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 John, and there I'd like to read from the second chapter, verses 9 through 11. Today, we continue with our study on the perspectives of love found in 1 John. And the idea that we want to examine today, which is found in verse 10, is that when Christians genuinely love each other, they will be spared a lot of the obstacles that causes so many people to fall in their lives. Or to put it another way, they will live without stumbling. Now, this point of living without stumbling is found within the broader context of being in the light. And light, of course, is another major theme that is found in this letter by John. And so, bringing these two points together, I want us to look at three features that John presents about making claims to be in the light. First of all, there is questioning the credibility of claiming to be in the light. Secondly, understanding the consequence of being in the light. And then finally, the warning of falseness in claiming to be in the light. With that, please read with me from 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. By inspiration, the Apostle John writes, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now, the first thing that I want to do here is to make this general observation about the writing style of the Apostle John. If you've ever noticed, John writes with a very clear, definitive, black-and-white style. I mean, just notice the contrast that he uses throughout this letter. There is light and darkness, love and hate, truth and lie. When you look at these concepts, the point is that there is no middle ground. His purpose is not to deal with so-called gray areas or all the possible what-if scenarios that we could come up with. His purpose is very straightforward. This is how believers live. This is how unbelievers live. And if you call yourself a believer, but you are living like an unbeliever, you are an unbeliever. Your life is a contradiction to truth. John does not write to address the inconsistencies of the believer's life per se. That is, when believers sin, or when believers get caught up in serious sins. As I've pointed out, we do not believe in sinless perfection, and neither does John. The reality is that believers still sin. But there is a difference between a believer sinning and someone continuing to live in sin. In 1 John chapter 8 and verse 9, we have recorded these words. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the reality here is that believers continue to sin to some extent. But also, it needs to be pointed out that John states, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, that doesn't speak about our initial coming to Christ in faith and repentance, the beginning of our salvation, but rather that speaks of a life in one's salvation. It's the realization that as believers, we do sin, but when we do, we are to confess that sin to the Lord. And in His grace, He is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins. But again, the key is a continual life of confession, recognizing sinful actions in our life and having a desire to turn away from them. You know, that is fundamentally different from what John is speaking about here when it comes to a way of life. That is, a person who claims to be a Christian, but their way of life rejects that and demonstrates that they are still walking in darkness. So again, John is writing about a consistent habitual lifestyle, a way of life that is marked by definitive characteristics. And this comes out clearly in the present tense verbs that he uses, verbs which emphasize continuous or repeated action. So it's not if we've ever done something wrong that we're an unbeliever, but rather it is if that thing characterizes your life, then you're an unbeliever. And let me also make this point. If we make a profession of faith, and I believe in the eternal security of the believer, once saved, always saved, but if we make a profession of faith, and there are serious inconsistencies in our life, John's words present a very serious warning about the status of our spirituality, or perhaps even the absence of spirituality. It is never okay for believers to persist in sin, in any kind of sin. If you are persisting in sin, the testimony of Scripture is stop. Repent of those sins. Turn away from them. Seek the forgiveness of the Lord and seek to live a life of humble obedience to Him out of love because of what He has done for you in His sacrificial death on the cross. Because the warning is that persistence in sin may be a sign of being unsaved, unconverted. And even if we are saved and persisting in sin for a time, at the very least, we will certainly secure the righteous anger and judgment of our Heavenly Father, who, according to the testimony of Scripture, chastises those whom He loves. So in this section of Scripture, I do not think that John is addressing those areas where believers get caught up in sin as it relates to fellow believers. When things happen, and sometimes we have hard or angry feelings towards others. But rather, John is addressing something much deeper, something much more pervasive. Again, it is a habitual lifestyle when this kind of thing that he addresses here characterizes a person's life. But in either way, the warning of John stands clear and stands as a reminder. Now, this brings us to our first major point, and that is questioning the credibility of claiming to be in the light. Notice verse 9. In verse 9, John writes, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now." Now, I want you to notice, this verse does not say he who is in the light and hates his brother, but rather it states, he who says he is in the light. This phrase, he who says, is a profession of faith. And the object of that profession is in the light. Now, as we've already pointed out, just because a person calls themselves a Christian does not mean that necessarily they are a Christian. The history of the church is littered with false professions of faith. People who call themselves Christians, believers, but yet in reality, they were not. False professions are alive and well today. The reality is that there are numerous individuals who call themselves Christians, but the reality is that they are not. Now, I don't want to appear judgmental. I'm just emphasizing a fact that is found numerous times in this letter by John. Now, what is this person professing? According to James, he is professing to be in the light. Now, obviously, light here is not a natural light that emanates from some luminescent body such as the sun. Rather, it is a metaphorical expression, and in Scripture, it is used in several different ways. For example, there are occasions where it speaks of the moral nature of God. In fact, in the opening sections of this very letter, John speaks of the fact that God is light. It also speaks of truth, that is, God's word is light, that guides us, that illuminates our understanding. It also speaks of that which is exposed or open to public view. That is, certain things, especially our sins on the day of judgment, will come to light. It will be exposed and open for everyone to see. And then finally, it speaks of spiritual understanding, having insight. Our minds that perhaps once was darkened is now enlightened to see the light. So it is enlightenment as it relates to the truth of God's word. Now here, it is probably used in the sense of the truth claims of the gospel. The truth about God, the truth about man, the truth about sin, the truth about Jesus, and the truth about salvation. And it also probably encompasses a sense of the individual embracing these truths, or at least making the claim of having done so. So in general, it is an expression of salvation, that a person is in a state of salvation, he embraces the truth, and that the truth of God's word governs his life. So this is what is professed when the individual says he is in the light. But the credibility of this profession is discredited by what follows. Notice in verse 9 that John says, and hates his brother. Now, the term hates here has two basic concepts in mind. There is what some refer to as positive hatred, and that is malicious or unjustifiable feelings towards others, or of a mutual animosity that exists between individuals. But it also relates to the absence of love. One writer states that the idea here is of a direct opposition. Where love is not, there is hatred. The heart is not empty. So it may be that there are occasions where individual makes a profession of faith, but yet they have very clear, hostile feelings and attitudes and even actions towards other people for whatever reason. They are hating in the general sense of the term. But on the other hand, again, there is the idea of an absence of love, an exclusion or an averting of certain individuals for, again, a variety of different reasons. But it ignores them, it pushes them away. And it may be that an individual makes a profession of faith, but what is demonstrated is that they simply do not care about believers, those that are supposed to be their fellow believers, their brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, the reality is that this is probably more of what Christians, or so-called Christians, tend to be guilty of. It's this natural aversion of pushing them away, not wanting to have anything to do with them, not caring about them, not praying for them, not meeting spiritual needs or physical needs, not praying for them, not visiting them, not doing good in times of need, that kind of thing. You see, one of the fundamental elements of Christianity is that the people of God are a people of love. We've experienced love from God in salvation. God changes our hearts, and one of the definitive results of that is that God's people love. Now, granted, some love more than others, but love we must. Love is not optional. It is a necessary feature of what it means to be saved, of what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. So there is a challenge to one's credibility if they call themselves a Christian, but they hate their fellow believers. Now John says that this individual is in darkness until now. It simply means that even at this point, they are still walking in the darkness of sin, of being unregenerate, that is, not being born again. They're not saved. They're walking in spiritual darkness. Now again, John writes in very clear, definitive, black and white terms. If this characterizes you, then there is a warning that you must confront. Now we come to our second point, and that is understanding the consequence of claiming to be in the light. In verse 10, John writes, "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." Now notice how this is contrasted. In verse 9, the individual is saying that he is in the light. But here there is the affirmation, "He who loves his brother." And the term loves, like so many terms in this letter, is given in the present tense. The person who continues to love, who loves consistently. The person who loves his brother. This is the individual that abides in the light. And from last week, the term abide means continue, dwell, endure, remain, or to stand. The opposite idea would be to leave, to abandon. The person who truly loves his brother, who demonstrates those qualities of genuine affection, this person remains in the light, in the truth of the gospel, in the truth of their profession. But the interesting thing about this particular section is what follows. He who loves his brother abides in the light. And John continues by saying, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. For the person that claims to be in the light, who really is in the light, there is a wonderful consequence. There is no cause for stumbling in them. Now the term stumbling comes from the Greek word skandalon. Now most of you are probably familiar with the term scandalous, or that which is a scandal. Now, the term scandalon was originally used to describe that part of a trap to which the bait was attached. Eventually, it came to simply mean the trap or the snare itself. So, in a metaphorical sense, the idea of stumbling or scandalon refers to anything, as one writer notes, that arouses prejudice or becomes a hindrance to others, or causes them to fall by the way. So the person who loves his brother, the individual that is abiding in the truth, is the one that walks in a way that is free from stumbling. Because if you love your brother, if you're concerned about their interest, you pray for them, if you consider them to be more important than you, there is an element of humility there, all of these things together, then you're not going to be jealous. You're not going to be envious. You're not going to be geared into thinking about revenge. You're not going to try to compete with them. And so you're going to be free from a lot of things that cause people to fall or to stumble in their lives. Now, this is something that happens to a lot of people. A lot of people, for whatever reason, can't seem to enjoy what they have because someone else is enjoying what they have. And this individual thinks that they have it better than them. Now, God is a good and gracious God, but he doesn't give everything equally and alike to his people. He just doesn't. God has people that are extremely poor, that have little to no education, all the way to people that are extremely wealthy and people that have numerous PhDs and everything else in between. God's people are across the board. But if you are a child of God, it doesn't matter where you are on the spectrum. What matters is that you love. And if you genuinely love, then you're not going to get caught up with all of those things that lead to, quote, the drama that so many people have. People today are so jealous and envious of each other. They can't be happy for others because of what they've accomplished or what they have. And as a result, there are traps everywhere. And those traps are springing left and right. And these individuals, if they are truly saved, can enjoy their salvation, what they have in Jesus, because they're so consumed with what they do not have or what others have. So there is a very special consequence for those who truly are in the light, who truly love their fellow believers. Now we come to our last and final point, and that is warning of the falseness in claiming to be in the light. In verse 11, John writes, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now, verse 11 is a very ominous warning. And notice, it doesn't say he who hates his brother is walking as if he is in darkness, but he who hates his brother is in darkness. Now, we've already touched upon the idea of hatred, but one of the features of hatred is being in darkness. It's the absence of light, the absence of truth. Light is said to come from some source, for example, the sun. Light emanates from the sun, and it allows us to see. It allows us to see movement, to see form, and to see color. But in order to see, we have to have eyes. If we don't have eyes to see, it doesn't matter how much light there is. We're not going to be able to penetrate the darkness to see the reality of truth. Not only is this true in a physical way, but it's very true spiritually. We have to have spiritual eyes to see the light of truth. The Bible speaks of Satan as the one who has blinded the eyes of many so that they do not see the glorious truth of the gospel. So the person who is living a life of hatred, they are in darkness, and they walk in darkness, which means that their walk, their daily life, reflects the blindness of their hearts. And this kind of individual does not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded their eyes. As we pointed out earlier, love of the brethren is a central feature of Christianity. The Bible is pretty clear. How can we say that we love God, whom we have not seen, and not love those with whom we have seen? It's an impossibility. If God has loved you and that love has been perfected, then by necessity, you must love others. Now, I'm not saying that we all do a good job at it, necessarily, but it is something that must be present, and it must be growing. So the person who does not love their mind is unable to see the truth of their circumstance. And they reveal that they know nothing about true biblical love, because love, in a sense, is the heart of Christianity. Love for Christ and a love for his people. Love is one of the most prominent and necessary features of what it means to be a Christian. So we're not talking about some minor issue. We're talking about something of tremendous substance. It's amazing how so many people who go to church on Sundays, who sometimes sit on the same pews, but who greatly despise each other. Are those who go to church every Sunday, but yet they care nothing about the people that surround them. They are cold and indifferent towards their hurts, their pains, their sufferings, perhaps their age, their circumstances. They simply just do not care. This kind of individual, in a sense, hates his brothers, his sisters. Again, this twofold concept of hatred should cause us to stop and to think about our own lives in the church. And as we've tried to point out numerous times, love isn't all about the lovey-touchy, emotional kind of feelings. It's about action. And if love is about action, then hatred, in some sense, may be about inaction for people. Just ignore them. Just act like they're not there. Just don't care. That is a form of hatred. Until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's holy word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to his Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.